Praise the Lord. Can you hear me, Dennis? Am I coming in up there? All right, we're going to continue our experiment with this cordless mic. Someone say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to continue our study tonight on the last days. And the subject matter that we're going to look at for a few minutes tonight, I don't know whether you can say that it's the type you jump up out of your pew and clap your hands and run around. But how many understand the knowledge of the Word of God can arm you for what's ahead? And we do need teaching. We do need instruction. We do need understanding. And there's a place for all that. I love the running, shouting, hand clapping, feet stomping messages. Brother Dennis, is this too loud? Can you turn that down maybe just a little? I may have it a little too close to my mouth too. Again, this was that good? They said they liked it. So, but God is good. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and this is the first verse that we looked at the last time. Tonight's lesson really cannot be separated from the last lesson. So what I want to do, we'll begin with this scripture, and then I'm going to briefly recap a few scriptures, then go on into what I've got prepared for tonight. This all come about, we started studying and talking about the last days, and I was asked a question, and the question that I was asked on the forms that I passed out was an interesting question, and I'm going to say a difficult question to answer. And the question was, what is the abomination of desolation? How many have read that phrase in the Bible? Wave at me. The abomination of desolation. And I praise God for the question. I appreciate a good dialogue when folks do ask questions. That means that they're hungry, they're curious, they've got an inquiring mind. And I believe we need that as we seek the Word of God. But it is a difficult question to answer, and I prepared something for an answer to that, and there are things we don't know. How many understand that you don't know what you don't know? Wave at me if you don't understand. You don't know what you don't know. That's the case for all of us. I don't know what I don't know either, Brother Richard. And that's not a bad thing. We only know in part. We only understand in part. How many understand that we see through a glass darkly? That means very thick sunglasses. We don't see all the light. 1 John chapter 3, it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't even fully understand the extent of the change our body will go through. We know we'll be like Jesus because we're going to see Him as He is. And how many, whatever that is, we don't know. But it's going to be okay because we're going to be like Jesus. It has to be all right. So I don't know all the answers to the questions, but the Bible does give us a lot of information. And I know there's a lot of preachers, Sister Betty, that wouldn't want to tackle this. Because it is a difficult, can be confusing topic. But what I want to do tonight is give you something just in a way that's going to edify. I believe that by, at the end of this lesson, you're going to think, praise God, God is in charge. And how many believe that we can accomplish that tonight? Leave here thinking, Lord, I love Your Word, and Your Word has the answer to our questions, and You are in charge, and You know what You're doing. I don't fully understand all about these last days, but I know You're in charge, and praise God, I'm just going to trust You for my life. I'm going to trust You for these last days. I'm going to hold Your hand, and wherever we go, it'll be all right, Brother Dammer, because as long as Jesus is there, it'll be all right. Notice Deuteronomy chapter number 4, and I do want to ask you to stand for the reading of this first scripture, just in honor of the Word of God, and we'll briefly skim over the next about 3 or 4 verses. And I'll show you the references to them. If you do have pencil and paper, I think it would be a good idea if you want to pursue this a little further to write these down. If you would like, the copy of my notes will be posted on our website. I've got them up here if you want a copy of them. We can provide that for you after church also. I believe it's all free of charge. How many understand God gives us free? We give it to us free. We won't give it away for free. Amen. Verse 27, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there shall you serve other gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Notice verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in, how many read this with me, the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which you swear unto them. Will you reach your hands this way? Let's agree in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word this evening. Lord, we thank you for the promises that you've made through all time. We thank you, Father, that your covenant promises have always been sure. And fathers, we see how you have kept your covenant with others. We know, Lord, and are assured of the fact that you will keep your covenant with us. I'm asking you, Father, tonight to allow us to see into your word, to ground us on bedrock, solid foundation, and let us understand your sovereignty tonight. Let our mind perceive how that we can rely upon you, that we can trust you, that you have a wonderful plan. You know what you're doing. And Lord, we just follow you the best way we know how this evening. Father, we're going to look into your word tonight, and we ask for your help. We ask for the anointing of your Spirit to break and destroy every yoke and every bond. Loose our understanding tonight that we can perceive the good things you have for us. Lord, I just praise you for what you're getting ready to accomplish tonight through the authority of your word. And Lord, by the precious blood of your Son that was provided on the cross that gives us that revelation. We're breaking that bread and Jesus broke the bread for us that we can understand. Thank you for your word and every promise in your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everyone said, amen. Amen. How many believe that God give us all 66 books of the Bible as we have them today? How many believe all 1,189 chapters are for us? All 31,102 verses are for us? Everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. How many believe every bit of it is for us? Having said that, there are those parts in the Word of God that when we read them, and I'm sure that hopefully everybody, if not everybody in here, you've read the Bible through. I hope you have. I mean, if you haven't, you're on your way anyways. I hope you're striving to. But we read that verse and we scratch our head and we say, Lord, I just don't understand that. And then we go on to the next verse. And I know there are verses that I still struggle with myself, having been a student of the Word of God now for over 33 years, I will tell you that I do not know it all. And I wish I did, but I don't. I will when I get to heaven. And there are things tonight that we look at that I'm not going to give you an exact answer for, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it. And I believe we should gain the understanding tonight that regardless of a specific interpretation, we are absolutely assured of the fact, Brother Denver, that God's in charge. And again, that's what we want to leave with tonight. Can you say praise the Lord? Now the last time we studied, which was 2 weeks ago before the revival, we dealt with a few verses, and the point we wanted to get started was the fact that God made a covenant with Israel. And God's covenant with Israel takes Israel down a long path. God knew even before they entered the promised land, speaking through Moses in this verse that we just shared, that the day was coming in which Israel would be scattered across the face of this globe. They would fall into paganism and different things, but the day would come in which they would be reassembled. And he even used the term here, and I had you to rehearse it with me, the latter days. And that God, because of a covenant promise with Abraham, is not done with the children of Israel. How many understand that and know that? You can say amen at that so far. But this is the first verse we looked at, and I'm just going to recap these and ask you, if you didn't catch them during our last session, you can write them down. Hosea 3:4, we talked about the verse here that said that Israel would return to their land and seek. Notice it said, David their king. I like how it also says in this verse, and his goodness, in the latter days. Again, we looked at these verses here in Hosea. We also looked in Ezekiel, and we read several verses here in chapters 36 and 37. Now, Ezekiel 37 is the chapter known for what? The dry bones. And what that chapter is, wasn't just Ezekiel having a nightmare or trying to scare somebody or even giving somebody the words to the song. How many know the hip bones connect to the leg bones? And all them come together, and there's a shake, a noise, there's a rattle and a roll. Amen. God puts flesh and muscle on them, and God does all that and breathes into them, and they stand on their feet a great army. But that is a prophetic utterance of Israel becoming a nation again after being dead and dry for a long, scattered on this big valley. It's prophetic of Israel becoming a nation again, but you have to put chapters 36 and 37 together. We also talked about the two sticks that became one stick in the Lord's hand. And then again, Ezekiel refers to David, the king. Somebody say David, good and loud. And how many understand that when we read of David in this prophetic context, it's talking about Jesus. We understand that to be Jesus who was raised to sit upon the throne of David. Now, what I want you to get from this is that Israel is still in the hand of God. God has a covenant relationship with Israel that He will not break. And these last days and events of what we're reading about in the last days has very, very much to do with God's dealing with the nation of Israel and what God knew way back from yonder past. How many are with me so far? Say amen. I want to explain this in a way tonight that we can grasp it, and you all have to pray for your pastor because I like to go from first to fourth really, really quick. Let's not miss second and third tonight. Let's just take our time, and I think this will be all right. We also last week, 2 weeks ago, emphasized a word that occurred four times. And you're going to see this on the screen up here in big, bold, red letters. And the word is until. And we brought in four different verses. And notice here that I've got the phrase, Israel has been blinded. You know, today, God's focus and God's dealings, generally speaking, is with a Gentile church. I am a Gentile. I mentioned before, church, that my dad called us heathen growing up. Have me understand having four boys and them being rambunctious, he'd call you heathen. Y'all understand that? Well, heathen just means a non-Jew, a non-Israelite. And when all of us here, unless you are a full-blown Jew, and I think some of us may have some little Jew flowing through our veins. I say Jew in a respectful way. An Israelite, a seed of Abraham flowing in your veins. But whether you do or not, understand that the covenant of Jesus applies to you. And if you receive that, you can depend on what Jesus done on Calvary to get you to heaven. And that's what I'm doing. How many know Sunday around here we got our axe out and we cut that tree down and we burn it up? We burnt that up. So we're focused on Jesus. We know He's the only way. Praise the Lord. But right now, Israel as a nation, although they have been reassembled in their land and have now for 60-some years, God has fulfilled part of the promise. They've yet to embrace David, their king, because they are still in a blinded state. Let's talk about that. Notice this verse, and we talked about that this last time. Luke 13, Jesus told Israel in weeping, "Your house is left desolate." Say the word in red. Until, a very, very important word, until you say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And this is Israel embracing Jesus as the Messiah, a prophetic utterance of end-day events when they somehow, some way, when some event or events occur, allow them to become unblinded so that they see Jesus is their Messiah and they can say this phrase, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Now, Micah 5 is the prophecy of Bethlehem bearing the king. We read this also where it says the king of Bethlehem gives them up until the time in which she that travails hath brought forth, then they'll return. Again, this is a prophecy of the blinding of Israel. We looked at this also. The third verse here, Isaiah 6, he says, "Give them eyes that they see not, ears that they hear not. Shut their eyes." Then it said, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant." And it began talking about different last day, end time, catastrophic event. How many have read through Revelation and read some of the things that happened where a third part of this and a fourth part of this and this many people die and the wormwood comes and there's all this stuff and these catastrophes and all these last day earthquakes, and I know people get that and they get scared. I want you to know it makes me excited. My heart beats a little faster because I know Jesus is in charge of all of this. And friends, when you start seeing this stuff happen, don't get afraid. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't need to get afraid and drop your head. You need to lift your head up and look from where your redemption is coming. Because we need to get our eyes toward the clouds because we're getting ready to depart from this world. Amen. It's exciting. But that's the third time it uses that word until. The last time here in Romans 11, and this is the one phrase I want to encourage you if you forgot to go back and read. Romans 9, 10, and 11 all deal with Israel and God's promise to Israel. You need to go back again and read that to get the full flavor of it. But here, he said, Israel is blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and he goes playing on and says that salvation is coming to the children of Abraham, to the seed of Israel. And I want to drive this point home again. When this country turns its back on Israel, it's headed for swift destruction. Israel is the people of God. God has a plan. And we mentioned this last part in green up here. What? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And a lot of times we'll use that today in referring to our own gift and calling. But friends, this is talking about the children of Israel and how God has not changed His mind with all that He told Abraham. And that covenant promise that God told Abraham He's going to see through until the end. And what we're going to find as we look into Bible prophecy, we cannot, somebody say cannot. We cannot separate Israel from end time events and Bible prophecy. And if we do, we're going to really, really, really mess up. Can someone say praise the Lord? So basically, that's what we covered 2 weeks ago. And just in case you wasn't here 2 weeks ago, you're welcome to my notes. But I want to now resume what we were talking about. And my first scripture here is in 2 Thessalonians 2, and you need to turn to that. Find that and locate that in your Bible. I use the word until, and the word until is an event indicator. I don't believe anyone, any man, person, woman, lady of God, man of God, student of the Word of God, anyone, anywhere on this planet can predict the day of the Lord's return. I don't care what event you're looking for, what signs you're expecting to see, or what revolves around what. My Lord and Savior plainly says, no man knows the day nor the hour. How many understand since Jesus done that, it would be a fruitless effort to try to determine such information. Yet how many understand that volumes of books have been wrote of people trying to do something that Jesus said you couldn't know? Someone say, praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to be smarter than that. I'm going to say, Lord, we can know the season. You told us that. But I'm just going to keep my eyes on You, and I'm going to love You, and I'm going to praise You, and I'm going to serve You. I'm going to encourage folks, and I'm going to tell the gospel message, and I'm going to tell how they can be saved with Jesus, that Jesus is the way. I'm going to spread the gospel. And I believe if folks would take half the effort and spread the gospel as they did trying to figure out the very second the Lord's coming back, and how many understand they've all missed it so far. I think if we spent half that effort, Brother Larry, that well, how much farther we'd be along getting people saved. How many understand the most important thing you can know here in this life is that you led somebody to the Lord? Amen? But there are events in the Bible He speaks about. There are things He tells us about. And that's what we want to look at. God, dealing a whole lot here with the nation of Israel, He says, until this, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I've got a plan. I'm going to show you I've got a plan because when this happens, this is how many days you've got. When this happens, how many understand that a God that awesome and that magnificent not only controls the end from the beginning, but He's giving you a little insight into it. Amen. Amen. Again, that's not predicting that we can know the day, but we can understand the season and be assured of the fact He is in charge. Now notice 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're looking at the question tonight, what is the abomination of desolation? To begin my feeble attempt at answering that question, I want to read verses 3 and 4, talking about these last days and this world ruler that the Bible describes. We read in the book of Revelation about the beast. We hear about these nations, a confederacy of however many ten horns at different times. We see that there are political powers. The Bible prophesies it's going to be. How many are with me so far? Say amen. And I know someone would say, well, we see this happening over in Europe, this, that, and the other, and some of that can or may not make sense. Not going to get into that either tonight. But we know that according to the Bible, there is a man of sin. There is the spirit of Antichrist. There are end time events that God is aware of, and He moved upon people by the Holy Ghost to record it for us. Say amen to all three of that. And in verse 3, He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. Somebody say falling away. The word apostasy in the original Greek language, it means a defection from the truth. And how many understand that when so-called Christian organizations will ordain homosexuals in a free country, there is a defection from the truth? Don't have to shake that bush. That bush has already been shook. We know that. I'm glad I'm part of a church that stands for the whole Word of God rightly divided. And at the last General Assembly, our church voted unanimously as a resolution for the family and against homosexuality. Say amen. And by all means, don't beat up folks that are that lifestyle. Love them. Lead them to the cross. Lead them to Calvary. And I'll let the power of God change them. Are y'all with me tonight? Am I rightly dividing this? Am I with you? I'm not going to bash nobody. I'm going to love everybody, regardless of their lifestyle. If they're living in sin, if they're living in adultery, if they're cohabiting, I'm still going to love them. If they're an alcoholic, still going to love them. Amen. If they're some drug abuser, I'm still going to love them. You know why? Because my Jesus can save every last one of them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Regardless of that sinful state they're in. But how many will recognize that in the church world today, there's a falling away, there's an apostasy, there's a defection from truth. That's what we're seeing. And the man of sin be revealed, describing this man, the son of perdition, means destruction. Describing this, whoever who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, notice what it says, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I want you to find Matthew chapter number 24. Now, let's look at that scripture tonight. And let's just simply say that whoever, whatever this last day's world ruler will be, will do, it's going to have an impact on religion. There is going to be something in conjunction with worship as these last day events unfold, and as Israel gets realigned with David their king, and they come back to the saving knowledge of the Son of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, there is a religious piece to this puzzle. How many will give me that so far and say amen to that? Now, Matthew chapter number 24, and I've really got this a little out of order, but This is an important verse, because we're going to go to Daniel here just in a minute and look at a few verses in the book of Daniel. Someone say, praise the Lord. God is good. I mentioned this earlier in our study a couple weeks ago. It is my field belief and opinion that Matthew 24, Jesus recorded it toward the Jews, toward the Israelites. And there's reasons for that. Hold that thought. Notice verse 13 of Matthew chapter number 24. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And his gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. Again, as we're reading this, We emphasized in our previous lesson the word until. We recap the four currents of that in dealing with Israel and these indicators, these event indicators. My God knows what it takes to turn on the light switch. Someone say, praise the Lord. Again, my God knows what it takes to turn on the light switch. And this word, I believe, is to the children of Israel that we're getting ready to read in verse number 15. Because Jesus is saying, when ye therefore shall see something, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and then it says, stand in the holy place. So, in conjunction with the holy place, the place of worship, in the last days, Jesus is saying something here needs to give you a revelation. Something here needs to turn on the light switch. Something's going to happen. Are y'all with me? Say praise the Lord. Something's going to happen that's going to be an eye-opener. Can you imagine events occurring? Hallelujah. That folks tell these seed of Abraham that Jesus is the Messiah. See what it says here in the New Testament and see what Jesus said. Now see what events have occurred. You have missed your Messiah. He is David, your king. Praise the Lord. And you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. As their eyes are unveiled and they see that Jesus is the Messiah. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, here we go. In parentheses, the last phrase of this verse. Very interesting phrase. It says, whoso readeth, let him understand. Any readers we got here tonight? How many are reading? Any readers tonight? Wave at me if you're a reader. How many are a studier of the Word of God? Wave at me if you study the Word of God. How many believe the Word of God? If you are, I'm trying to get every one of you involved here. It's sort of hard to jumpstart folks, you know. I was talking to a person at work and they were talking about how Paul said it was hard to kick against the pricks. And they was talking about, you know, Jesus told that to Paul. Sister Betty, he wasn't cussing. He said a prick is a goad to encourage an animal to bind. It's the modern day equivalent of a cattle prod. Shock them babies a little bit. Someone say praise the Lord. I believe these last day events, that's the goad, the prod, the eye-opener that's going to nudge Israel in the right direction as their eyes are open. When that until occurs, when these events start to take place, the dominoes start to fall, Israel's eyes start to open. And whatever this is, it uses the phrase abomination of desolation. Whatever it is will occur in the holy place. In this place where we just read in the prior verse in 2 Thessalonians where this individual is assuming to be God, although how many understand he's not God. He is this leader of false worship controlling this world of the day. I believe the church is going to be gone. I believe Matthew 24 is talking about to the people of Israel that are left after the church is gone. Amen. So, what we've got here is what I want to say is event indicators. Now, I've got a hint of what this could be. Sister Charlotte, we can't say 100% what it is because the Bible doesn't come right out and say what it is. But we know it's something that opens the eyes of Israel. Now, Jesus referred to Daniel. How many caught that? When you'll see this spoken by Daniel. Now, I want to encourage you, and I'm going to pop up all of these scriptures up here, and I'm going to talk about these. I want to encourage you to get into the book of Daniel. If you're at all curious about the last days and believe it's possible for us to understand, I didn't tell you to turn there yet, you still should be in Matthew 24, because it says, whosoever readeth, somebody say readeth, Daniel 9, Daniel 10, Daniel 12. We could throw in Daniel 8 there. We could throw in Daniel 11 there too. And each of those is significant to the last days. Each of these have these symbols that we look at and we scratch our head. Well, there's a he-goat. And his horn has a great horn that breaks into four parts, and these two parts are battling back and forth. How many read that and you just scratch your head? What in the world are they talking about? Here's an image. You've got a head of gold, arms of silver, a thigh of brass, and legs of iron, feet part of iron and part of clay. And here's these creatures that come up out of the sea. The first is like an eagle. The second is a bear. The third is a leopard with four heads. And the fifth one's this great iron beast with iron teeth and 10 horns. And each of these is significant. But here's the thing, church. Let him that reads understand. You know what that tells me? I can understand. That tells me that through the power of the Spirit of God, we can have a glimpse into this. And Brother Denver, we can know something. Now, we can't answer all of it because we're not on this side going to know all of it. But we can know some things. Now, I'm going to give you a little piece of history. And it actually fulfills parts of what I've got here. Okay? Now, a little piece of history about 150, 180 years before Jesus was here, there was a Syrian king by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. You don't have to remember that. Went into the temple at Jerusalem and offered a swine upon the altar. The reason he did it, he wanted to do something so detestable, so defiling to the Jewish mind. How many understand what a Jew thinks about bacon and pork? And how many understand they've missed that? Praise the Lord. I just read today. I just read today that Oscar Mayer come out with bacon flavored hot dogs. That's enough to make you shout. Can you say amen? Bacon flavored hot dogs. I guarantee you they don't come in a kosher version. Praise God. I'm sorry. Y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me, but that's true. That's true. I read that today. But this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, he wanted to do something so detestable, Brother Richard, that he chose to take a pig and offer its blood upon the altar of God at Jerusalem. Not only that, but he took away Israel's daily sacrifice for 3.5 years. This man, 180 years before Jesus, done these things. Now, we're still in Matthew 24. Notice it says, when you shall see. Jesus is saying, our Lord, understanding history, is saying this is not only historical, but this is prophetic. Now, how many are a little bit confused? Are you a little confused? But I want you to consider this. Now, it's always been my opinion that this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, was a foreshadow of this man of sin. And God allowed us to have a little glimpse of what was to be. I interpret that because Jesus said, when you shall see it, it's going to happen. Now, is it going to happen in that exact same way? Is it going to be a swine offered on the altar at Jerusalem? And I've heard some people say that's what it's going to be. We don't know that for sure. But here's what it is going to be. It's going to be an event indicator. It's going to be something that me and you, not being a Jew, may not fully understand. But to the Jew of that day that's earnest in heart, when this event occurs and they're pointed to the New Testament and they see the word of Jesus, they'll understand that they miss their Messiah, and they will long for David, their king, who is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and they will cry, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Are y'all with me? Because the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, and God will shift his effort back toward the children of Israel when their eyes are opened through these events that occur. And there's going to be several events that we can read about in the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice what I've got here. Give me just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. But I want you to put together last week and this week, and I really had all this together as lesson 3 in our last day series, but had I done all that I done the last and this, we would have talked for 2 hours, and I don't want to do you that way. Not that I couldn't or I would love to, But folks would start snoring on me and go to sleep, and I don't want to do that. But notice Daniel 10. Do want you to turn here now. We're going to look at these last verses here. And I'm just going to take a few minutes. We're not going to unravel all these. And I'm not going to try to say that this is going to occur, then this is going to occur, and try to piece these together in a definitive fashion. But I'm simply going to say that there is a time clock in the mind of God. And God is conveying to us how sure that clock is. Does God know the end from the beginning? I can't predict the day, nor the hour. But I've got a God that's got it well in control. And that's what we need to get. So whatever the abomination of desolation is, God's got a purpose for it, and when it occurs, Sister Charlotte, that trigger will work. Israel will see, and they will turn to their Messiah. Can you say praise the Lord? Because Jesus is saying, when you see this, this is what you need to do. Now notice Daniel 10, just one verse in chapter number 10. How many know that when Daniel fasted here 21 days, it brought great revelation? I like reading, you know, the answer was on the way the first day. But he kept on fasting. He kept on fasting until the answer came. Praise God. My goodness, this stirred me up. I don't know what this does for you, but hallelujah. And you know the best part about it, I love this, but don't fully understand it. Is that all right? Can I say that tonight? I love this, but I don't fully understand it, Sister Betty. But my goodness, when I'm reading how God said this year, and He holds it in His hand. And that's really the most I want us to get tonight. When you leave this place, you're thinking, you know, He knows exactly the number of days between these events. He's got all that in His hands. Somewhere in that hand is room for me. Y'all get that? Somewhere in that big, giant hand that holds, that can hold the water. Brother Larry, there's room for me. There's room for every last one of us. Praise God. Y'all should start shouting on that. Daniel, chapter 10, verse 14. Now am I come to make thee understand. Read this with me. What shall do what? Befall thy people. Now, I want you to say thy people. Daniel was of what nation? He was an Israelite. So God is saying, your people, Daniel, I've got some certain things that's going to happen to them. And what does it say? In the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Let's back up to chapter number 9. I've loved and studied numerous times the 70 weeks, 70 sets of 7 years. Who can do the math here? What's 7 times 70? 490. These are 490 years of events that occur, even pinpointing the year that Jesus was anointed as Messiah. You can read that here, jump right down here into these verses. Start verse 24, read through the end of the chapter. How many have ever thought that right before Jesus went down to John the Baptist and told John, baptize me. And John suffered him and baptized him. And when he come up out of that water, somebody tell me what happened. Two major events occurred. What happened? That's both of them. Two things. First of all, the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove rests upon him. Then Jesus immediately said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel. Jesus waited until that anointing occurred. Now, days prior, when Jesus was at a marriage supper in Cana of Galilee, and they run out of wine, and his mama says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. What did Jesus say there? Who knows the Bible? What did Jesus say? Okay, so Jesus knew there was yet a time. And he's already approaching 30 years old. How many understand there have been some young folks who do some great works for God? You don't have to wait till you're 30 years old to obey God. But there was a reason for this. And I believe it was a twofold reason. He was 30 years old. To qualify as high priest, which needed to be of that age. And from the time in the book of Nehemiah in which the command came to restore and build the wall to the year he was anointed by the Holy Ghost was exactly 483 years. You can do the math. Which is 69 of those 70 weeks. And again, we're not getting it. I didn't mean to get into it that much. But notice here, verse 24. If you're in Daniel 9:24, say amen. 70 weeks are determined upon whom? And upon what? The children of Israel and the city of Jerusalem are instrumental in what God is doing. The last verse of this chapter, verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is the 70th and the last week. Someone say praise the Lord. This last week, this last 7 years, and this basically is where folks get a 7 year tribulation period based upon Daniel 9:27. Because of this last 7 year, this last week of years, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst, halfway through, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall do what? Make it desolate. Here we have the abomination of desolation, something occurring at the midpoint of that week that is a sign and an indicator toward Israel and what Israel is doing toward, what God is doing toward Israel. Someone say praise the Lord. I know I'm giving you a lot to digest tonight. Roll with me for just a few minutes, even until the consummation, the end of that tribulation. How many knows what happened at the end of that tribulation period? Our Lord comes back and fights the battle of Armageddon on a white horse with the saints of God behind Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to be there with you to fight that battle. Now, let's go to chapter 12. Notice the next verse we've got here, and I do have one more. Give me just a couple more minutes. I'm winding down, circling the airport as we speak. Daniel 12:9, and he said, and again, I'm not going to try to unravel all this, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And notice what he says here, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, which is 3.5 years and an added month. Why that time period? I can't tell you, but I know that's what it is. But here's the thing, God knows that He used that time right here. Let's go to chapter number 8. And again, I can't speak, and I know folks have, if you ask 10 preachers what that means, you're going to get 10 different answers. Praise the Lord. Daniel 9, chapter 8, verse 11, describing that last day's person. Yea, he shall magnify himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced, and it prospered. Now, listen to this. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said to that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he gives an extended period of time, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And friends, I want you to know God has such a marvelous plan, even the time frame of the cleanup after this battle is fought. You can read it in Ezekiel chapter number 39. Now, how many understand this is a whole lot tonight? Way back. Someone do this. But it's all right. What is the abomination of desolation? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a light switch that God flips on so that the children of Israel can see. This is what I know, because I read it. Specifically, what is it? It is some event that this man of sin, this last day ruler, does that helps awaken Israel. And how many can agree with this out of the Word of God? I think I've given you enough evidence tonight. And I know my God's in charge. I'm trusting Him tonight. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise you, Jesus. I mentioned this wasn't your shouting, run the aisle, run the pew.